Merchandising.
Yeah, that's a good way to start this. That lets people know that we're still their regular old friends that don't want anything from them except their money.
Now
what's up?
We've got merch for you.
Go to wehaveconcerns.com/shop and check out the new Brock Life t-shirt, Salmon Cannon t-shirt, Jetpack Rescue Squad t-shirt, so many t-shirt. Every last episode of season is like a flash forward to a like a potential future of what goes of like dystopian what goes wrong, which is kind of interesting.
That is cool.
This is We Have Concerns.
Hi,
Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens.
And hello, phone that's not off.
Wow, I'm the rudest motherfucker. It's usually your phone.
What? Don't you dare! How dare you put
it
that on
me? It is usually your phone.
It is not
or
usually
your,
my
or
phone.
Or your iPad.
Okay, well, it's maybe my iPad, but let's not get crazy. I'm not an animal. I turn
not
my
a
phone
monster.
Off.
Hey, you guys, you know, we normally put this at the end of the episode, but I want to go ahead and put this at the beginning, and I'm sorry for doing it. But as you know, we fund this whole show through Patreon. Patreon is a place where people who like a thing can support the thing monetarily every month, and you get a little bit of extra stuff. We give out things like bonus episodes, video hangouts, stuff like that. But we also have these huge milestone goals, right? Where if we reach a certain amount of money every month, we get to do bigger and better things with the show. And we are very, very close to our next goal, video episodes. So people have been asking us, like, why do you have this YouTube channel? What is it like when you guys record? Like, we would love to see the process and, like, have this thing in video so we can actually see how you guys act this stuff out. We are very close to our $7,000 a month goal, which is an actual video episode a couple times a month where we fully produce it. It's going to be, like, a three-camera, like, really well-produced version of the show on video, and we really want to do it.
We think it would be cool. We think you guys would dig it. So this is our version of a flash forward to the end of the episode where we talk about this stuff. Mm-hmm. We're doing it at the beginning.
Whoa, everything's gone dystopian, but there are video episodes. So maybe it was worth it. Who are we to say? Head to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns and consider helping us out. If you already help us out, maybe consider bumping up your donation every month if you can. We would really appreciate it, and we would love to do this.
Now let's talk about playgrounds.
Playgrounds. A tiny little war zone. Where tiny little humans make their tiny little battles every day.
That's kind of true, man. That's a wonderful little metaphor for it.
Yeah, it's wonderful looking back. It's not so wonderful as the kid who is being... Who's being warred upon?
Oh, I
the
was definitely
peaceful nation.
I was definitely that kid. Yeah. I remember the war to claim the good swing at the swing set.
The run,
the sprint for recess.
Ugh, oof, man. And then, oh boy, you know, recess was not a kind time for young Anthony Carboni.
No, neither was it for young Jeff Cannata. It was a time of deep stress and
great strife,
needing to know where one was accepted and not accepted, and staying in your zone,
standing in a corner and learning at a very early age how to identify rocks and bugs.
Oh yeah,
because boy, was that the only thing I was allowed to do?
Yeah,
or use what was that? The really shitty piece of playground equipment, which was like, which was always like a teeter totter, but I was only one person. So I would pretend to surf on it until I fell and like hurt my ankle, or like that weird, like the weird spring seesaw horsey.
Yeah.
Which was for the babies. It was the baby thing, but it was like the only thing I could do where like nobody would crowd around me and tell me to get off.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought up the idea of falling and hurting yourself.
I want to go take a nap now. I feel awful.
That's what this story is about. This was a story sent in by Warren Campbell to wehaveconcernsshow@gmail.com.
Warren Campbell probably had a wonderful childhood. Probably got to get on the swings. Probably
I hope
got
he
to,
did.
Probably got some monkey bar time.
I certainly wouldn't wish my recess experience on anybody.
No, me neither.
This is a story about the $1 million playground.
What? Which Richie is, Rich, the was, Netflix original series.
The $1 million playground.
Richie Rich in the $1 million playground.
What is it? It's a swimming pool full of dollars.
Richie, we're really tired of you flaunting your wealth in front of all of us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It makes us feel really weird and terrible. And also, like, your family kind of runs this town, and there's a lot of income disparity here.
Oh, well, you can continue playing at the $2.97 playground, or you can play at the $1 million playground with me.
Well, I mean, okay, and I'm not trying to make you defensive. Like, let's not, you know, we're buddies, right? But I'm just saying, like, maybe you need to realize, Richie, that an emerald-encrusted swing, like, maybe you could have, like, helped out the schools or, like, the hospital.
Don't you
like,
want to sparkle as you swing?
Sure, but I would also like to figure out what this weird cough is, because I'm only 7, and it seems strange that I would have this cough all the time.
Oh, well, you must be this healthy to enter the $1 million playground. There's a clear sign at the entrance.
Oh, I guess I'll leave that. We're in the $1 million playground! We have no problem with classism! Because we partially benefit.
Free healthcare and the $1 million playground.
Okay, that you could have led with that. You could have led with that, son of a bitch.
It's not called the $1 million playground because it cost $1 million to make. It's called the $1 million playground because that's the entrance fee.
It's basically Elysium, but with monkey bars.
Yeah, yeah. No, the $1 million playground is in Vancouver, British
Shout
Columbia.
Shout out to all 3 people that saw Elysium.
Yeah. You'll regret the end. Don't worry about it. You didn't need to see it. The interesting thing about the $1 million playground isn't that it cost $1 million. It's that this suburb in Vancouver decided to make this playground intentionally dangerous.
Finally, the playground that I will send all my children to, the crucible through which they will be forged into the ultimate children.
Yeah. It's the Hunger Games of playgrounds. You either live or you die. You either excel or you are exterminated.
To be fair, it doesn't have to be the Hunger Games. Technically, everywhere you go, you either live or you die.
You either live or you die.
Technically, no matter where you go, you either live or you die.
There's only 2 choices
here,
Anthony.
You win or you die.
There's only...
That's like kind of a thing. But you... Like,
you either live or you're not living.
Yeah, that's true. That's
true.
But you can say that maybe of like the bookstore.
You either are or you aren't.
That's okay. Yep. That's
here.
That's
only valid. Here in the $1 million playground.
Now, once again, I gotta say, like, it seems like there's a much wider...
You either continue or you stop.
Nuh-uh. Okay, but that's also true of, like, yes. Say, the diner or...
No, the $1 million playground, the rules are much more extreme.
like my kitchen or my bathroom.
No, that's not that how it is there, because here, all bets are off or they're on. They're either on or they're off.
All bets are on and they're off. Oh, God. Okay.
So
they're making this dangerous for why?
They have decided that it's good for kids. They say there's plenty of opportunities for kids to fall and hurt themselves. Things aren't safe. And they say that this is...
Oh, old people.
Says,
oh, nostalgia. Oh, rose-colored glasses. Let's talk about this.
They have an interview here with University of Texas professor Joe Frost,
Joe McCrotchety.
He says, learning how to handle risks teaches kids how to protect themselves in challenging environments.
They had an interview with the old prospector that runs the playground, who says kids these days, am I right?
Yeah. It's groundskeeper Willie who says, ah, these boys are not, they just get themselves killed all the time.
Now, okay, there is a certain, there is a certain truth, I think, to the fact that we, over the last 20, 30 years, like there have been a lot of studies, a lot of research done about how we are perhaps overprotecting children.
Right.
You think about how, 20, 30 years ago, kids would just get on their bikes, go wherever, do whatever. And now things are much more structured. Like there's this idea now that you don't just put your kids on bikes and let them ride around throughout the neighborhood or whatever. Right. Most of this, like, as far as I'm concerned, most of this is anecdotal because I don't think I know enough parents to really corroborate this.
Right.
But the few people I know that do have kids, it does seem to be that way. Like, kids don't go very many places that aren't organized activities or under parental supervision.
What they call it, helicopter parenting, right? Where you're constantly hovering over your
kids.
Yeah,
something like that. Now, to say that dangerous playground equipment teaches kids
rusty nails.
Yeah,
we got a series of thumbtacks that we just spread across the basketball
court. $1 million playground is mostly my realization of the dream of building a gauntlet of those swinging, rotating saws that they have in video games and movies.
Yeah.
That's like saying we never should have gotten rid of lawn darts or something.
Right.
Or like those.
Or lead in toys.
Yeah.
Or it makes us tougher.
Why don't the slip and slides come with the metal spikes anymore?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because you don't need metal spikes, and metal spikes are actually more dangerous than they are harmful.
Well, this guy seems to think that he says the view that children must somehow be sheltered from all risks of injury is a common misconception in adults. He says that limiting kids' outdoor play can harm them later in life, and it limits their physical fitness, hurts their health, and reduces learning and the ability to
cope
with trauma.
That's all fine. But jumping from that logic to the world's most dangerous and expensive playground is quite a leap.
Well, it only follows, Anthony, that if sheltering your kids makes them weak, having the most dangerous danger zone makes them sharp and powerful.
Timmy, I want you to remember.
Yes, Daddy.
That your mother and I love you very much.
Uh-huh.
And that's why we're sending you on this 5-day survival man training camp.
But Daddy,
I need you to get into the plane. This is your foil blanket. Remember, it can also be a lean-to.
Daddy, but where are my clothes?
Eat one berry, and if it makes you feel a little strange, don't eat any more. Your body can handle a small amount of poison.
Daddy, can I at least bring some food?
Oh, no. Nature will provide, or it won't. You see, Timmy, you'll either live or you'll die.
Oh, but Daddy, that's the only two options I have?
Yeah, in this situation, and only this situation, yes. Now, we're going to ask you to get on the plane.
Okay, Daddy.
And remember, we'll see you in 5 days, maybe 7 if you have a little trouble, like, you know, mantling some of these small buttes and cliffs.
5 to 7 days later. Hello, Father.
Timmy. So good to see you, buddy. I knew you'd make it.
Father, you are weak, and I shall crush you.
Yes, this is exactly the way I thought it would play out in my mind. Destroy me, Timmy! Destroy me and take over my place on this planet!
I must eat your heart to subsume your power.
Kill me first, then eat my heart. That's my last request as your father. Okay, or not. I guess I am weak.
It is an interesting philosophy. So there's tons of things in this park. There is a 10-meter tall treehouse.
There's Gumdrop Mountain, which is made entirely of broken glass.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a peach tree forest, which is actually on fire all the time. Mm-hmm. There's the Swizzle Stick Lane, mm-hmm. which is a razor blade lined road that has barbed wire throughout.
And then there's Fluffy Cloud Manor, which is actually just made of rusty nails and the most splintery of all the lumber.
Yeah. It's a darling place.
And if you can climb to the top of it, you get an EpiPen.
Yeah. And there's also a merry-go-round.
Yeah, and it's pretty nice.
It's a regular merry-go-round.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun, and the kids love it.
Yeah. Yeah. But the rest of the stuff really will fuck you up.
To be fair, the merry-go-round cost $900,000 because it's a beautiful restored merry-go-round.
It's actually imported from overseas. It's classic, using only redwood.
European merry-go-round.
Beautiful.
It has like the little the rings that the kids can grab, and
it's
like
gorgeous.
You get the brass ring, you get a prize. It's really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
The rest of the playground, I mean, we built it out of shit we found in a dumpster, so it was really cheap.
Yeah, it really was a bargain, but that merry-go-round was
so worth it.
So
gorgeous. And if the kids can survive all the way through Swizzle Stick Lane, they get to ride it.
It was an odd choice putting the merry-go-round in the center of the park, surrounded only by Swizzle Stick Lane.
Was it an odd choice? Or was it the best choice for the children to strengthen themselves?
Well, hey, if you want the joy of riding upsy-downsies on a hobby horse in the middle of a beautifully restored merry-go-round.
I cannot stress enough just how gorgeous and detailed this 18th century craftsmanship is.
It really, it's a wonderful payoff for surviving the hell that is Swizzle Stick Lane.
And I mean, you know, to be fair, the playground, I mean, the merry-go-round costs like $800K, but $100,000 just this year was put aside for cleaning the viscera off of the merry-go-round in a way that wouldn't ruin the beautiful finish of it, because the children are bleeding out left.
Oh, you would be surprised. The smiles on their faces as the blood gushes from their bodies.
We think they're smiles, and it could be because of the merry-go-round. It could also just because of that flash of near-death experience that warms them and gets rid of their shock and terror in that final moment.
Yeah. But the yelps of glee as they finally achieve their place on the merry-go-round.
Yeah, yelps of glee or of terror as their blood leaves their body. It's hard to tell, but I'll tell you what, in a photo,
You can't tell the difference.
You cannot tell the difference.
No, it's beautiful.
It was really worth the money. Also, those photos are classic tintype portraits.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, 150 grand for that tintype camera.
We're a little over budget.
Yeah.
We're a little over budget, but you know what? We saved a lot of money on the broken glass.
Oh, yeah. Those rusty nails, it's funny. You can just pick them up from most construction sites.
I wouldn't recommend it. What I would do is send a child in to do it for you.
Oh, yeah. The child labor, it really saved a lot on the construction cost.
They learn a lot, and they bounce back from tetanus a lot faster than an adult would.
And by faster, I mean not at all. But the point is, an adult really would keel over much quicker.
Sure. Or slower, or have a better chance of getting help or understanding what was going on.
Yeah.
But
these children are strong.
They got these tiny hands. They got these tiny hands, and they can just get the nails from places I never would be able to.
Anyway, $1 million.
Why this?
This is the plan. You're against this. I gotta say, I'm kind of on this page, man.
Yeah, because you're getting old. You're 47 now.
That's not.
You're almost a father.
That's not. Well, the father thing is.
You sit out on your porch and you whittle and you talk about how the good old days were.
The good old days when you could skin your knee like a real grown boy. You could actually incur some pain and you learn from it.
Can I tell you something?
And you go, hey, maybe I shouldn't swing on the monkey bars upsy downsies because I land on my head.
My worst injuries were not from the terrible playgrounds that we had, even though I did burn myself on slides that were metal and like that. But I'll tell you this. The worst injuries I had as a kid were just dumb kid injuries. I tripped over my own front porch. Caused by a dumb kid. I tripped over my own front porch steps because I was running.
Yeah.
And like I put a tooth through my bottom lip. Like,
ow.
That's kid shit. It's going to happen no matter what. We don't need to give kids a dangerous obstacle course. Kids hurt themselves. They're going to do it no matter what. The problem is not that we're not giving kids enough chances to hurt themselves. It's that we are not giving them enough chances to create decision-making abilities. Like, that helicopter parenting. I do believe that, you know, as we rode off down to the edge of the block and were forced to make decisions together without adult supervision, we did learn a lot socially. You know what I mean? That's sort of the thing. I mean,
well, my sense was that I had hours and hours during the day where I was just completely on my own. But my parents probably knew what was going on with me.
I mean,
but my sense was that I was completely autonomous and I could do whatever I wanted.
I mean, when my parents were like, ride your bike, to the end of the block and no farther.
Right.
You know, we thought, oh my God, we're at the end of the block. Clearly we're within view of other neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, the people on our street kind of knew each other and recognized each other. But like, it's this feeling of being unsupervised that kids need. They need to be able to think things through.
Yeah.
They don't need a dangerous fucking playground to skin their knees. It's two different things. That's just old man thinking.
Okay. All right. So you're against the $1 million playground with danger.
I love if you.
What about the danger room? But the X-Men. There wouldn't be the X-Men if they didn't have the danger room, Anthony.
Sure, but I mean, I would argue in the cases of the danger room and the holodeck, maybe caused a little more harm than good.
Well, they always go haywire. You know,
sure.
You can't account for that. And I'm sure the $1 million playground will go haywire
at
some time. It's
built to go haywire from go. Here's my thing. If you just say to me $1 million playground, if you just give me top line, you say $1 million playground, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, these kids are going to have the best time. If you say $1 million playground because it's going to be dangerous, it's like, oh, fuck you, old man. You could have taken that $1 million and built them like some sort of crazy, like at the top of the slide, the fake rocket ship actually has like a weird rocket ship simulator inside of it.
Yeah.
Like you could have given kids like the most insanely amazing playground. Instead, you were like, they need to hurt themselves to get smurt. Fuck off, old man.
All right. I don't know. I kind of like the idea of making something that's a little bit rough around the edges.
You know what,
I'll just
man?
Say that.
That's because you don't have your kid yet.
That's true.
And I'll tell you this, as somebody who has been a preschool teacher, as somebody who has like been on a playground with little kids, I'm fine with the fact that they have the foam floors instead of the concrete now.
Crack your head open.
Yeah, because it's not always skin knees.
Right.
Sometimes it's injuries that really cause a lot of harm. And it's not like, oh, now I've learned. It's, oh, now I have a head injury and I'm 6.
That's true.
And now I have a blinding fear of fun.
That's how we weed out the weak ones. No, you're right. No, you're right.
It's Freaky Friday here on We Have Concerns, where Jeff Cannata and Anthony Carboni have switched ideals.
Yeah, I know that you are right, and I know that this doesn't really make much sense.
Finally saying it about 300 episodes in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not about most things, but just about this particular thing.
About just about everything. Jeff Cannata finally says that I am right about everything. This is the episode where Jeff said that I was right about everything, and we're going to end it right there because that's a great place to end it. I'm right about everything. Good night, everybody. This was our last episode.
No!
And I'm right about everything.
No flash forward to the last episode! No!
How do you guys feel about this? Is this a worthwhile endeavor? Or I feel like it's too binary. That's my thing. It's an all or nothing.
I would love to know what people think about it. I would also love to know how you would spend $1 million to create the $1 million playground.
Oh, please send us... Draw us a picture of your $1 million playground,
oh,
please.
Oh, man. That would be awesome.
Could you please just do that and then hashtag it $1 million playground and send it to us? I'm at A. Carboni.
I'm at Jeff Cannata.
And we did our spiel about Patreon at the beginning, so we're not going to do it here at the end, but we will just make noises that maybe make you feel a little guilty.
Maybe next time.
I don't know.
Okay.